Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I am your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Brittany Ann. Brittany is on the show today talking about following God's will. Whether you're seeking God's will in the big decisions or the small, the Bible is full of wisdom, direction, and encouragement to help us find and follow God's will. Join us today as Brittany Ann teaches us how to confidently hear God's voice, understand His word, and determine His will for ourselves. Hello, Brittany, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to get to speak with you.
Today's conversation is all about following God's will, and that's based on your new book by the exact same title. So I think sometimes this term can be a bit Christianese and a little bit confusing. So as we begin, I'd love for you just to give us kind of a working definition of God's will.
That is a fantastic question. Thank you for starting us off there, because you're right. So often we think, okay, well, we have to follow God's will. And there's so many misconceptions about what God's will is. So often people think that it's just this big, like, nebulous thing where they're like, okay, God has this one big thing for me where He wants me to be a missionary, or He wants me to be a pastor's wife, or He wants me to be a farmer, or, you know, whatever it is. He wants me to go do this really big, super spiritual, super weird thing. And yet for me, following God's will is all about finding out, what does God want from us? What does God ask of us? So you probably do this as well. I know whenever I have a question in my life where I think, okay, what should I do in this situation? And especially now in the back to school season, there's so many things that we have to make decisions about. Do we homeschool our kids? Do we send them to public school? Do we sign them up for this activity or that activity? When the school sends out the volunteer paperwork and there's so many opportunities, should I volunteer for this thing or that thing or no thing? You know, are we not in that season? And I know whenever I have questions like these, that I always want to go to someone and ask for their advice and their input. So maybe I'll go to my husband and I'll say, hey, what do you think about this? Like, is this a good idea? You know me well, you know our life, so I could trust your advice. Or I might go to my mom and say, hey, I'm dealing with this issue. What do you think? Like, what thoughts do you have about this? What advice do you have for me? Or I might go to a best friend, or I might even go to a Facebook group. I am in groups like this and I love them, where you just get on and you say, hey, this is the situation that I'm dealing with. What should I do? Like, I would love just from everybody some extra wisdom and insight and encouragement. So when I think of following God's will, I don't necessarily think of, although it is a part of it, I don't necessarily think of figuring out what is that one big thing, but instead I think of, you know, as much as our husbands and our mothers and our sisters and Facebook groups might have great advice for us, if you think about God knows us inside and out way better than we know ourselves, way better than any other human being could. He knows the past. He knows the future. He knows what is best for every situation. So for me, following God's will means going to God and asking Him for His perfect advice. God, what do you want me to do? Because there's only so much that I know for myself. I might try to make a decision, hopefully try to make the best decision I can, but I don't have all of the information. But I know that God loves us. He wants what's best for us. He sees all of the implications of every decision we could make. He knows how things are working out because He's working them out together. So for me, following God's will is just going to God and saying, hey, what would you have me do in this situation? What do you think I should do? How would this work out best? And trying to, in every decision that I make, do what He would want me to do, because I know that He's always going to give me that insight that's going to be for my best interest.
You know, I think, you know, this question of like, what is God's will for my life? It's a question that I'm willing to bet that most every Christian woman or Christian man even has asked. And so I'd love to just hear, what has this search for God's will looked like in your own life?
Yeah, so I think so often we have this idea that following God's will means we have to sit down and pray for hours or seek or like go through this whole puzzle to figure out what is this one thing that we have to figure out. And we have to come up with it out of thin air. And yet for me, that really was not the case. I never got this big light bulb moment or this big sign from heaven, like, do this thing. This is the one thing that you are called to do for the rest of your life. Rather, for me, it really has been a matter of, in the small things, just following God's leading wherever I am. So it's waking up each day and trying to remember, I don't do this perfectly, of course, but trying to wake up each day and pray, God, what do you have for me today? Please let me be aware of the needs that are around me. Help me to slow down enough to pay attention to the needs that are right in front of me. Help me to live out my life as a Christian today in my day-to-day that I'm doing. So I do believe that I'm following God's will in the sense of my career. That's often what we think about is, you know, what career should I have? And I do believe that I am following God's will in that sense. So I'm an author. I'm a speaker. I host conferences. I run the website Equipping Godly Women that helps Christian women to be all in faith and family. And I love my job, but there was never a time in my life where I sat down and said, you know, I'm going to be an author. Or I'm going to have this website. I didn't even know that was an option. Like back when I was in my early 20s, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't go to college to be a website owner. That wasn't a thing back then. So instead, it really for me was a matter of, okay, with what I have right in front of me, what is my next step? And just trying to be faithful right where God has placed me right now. So my degree is not in business. It's not in communications. It's not even in Bible, although I did go to a Bible college. It's not in any of those things, which would have been very helpful. But instead, my degree is in elementary education. And you don't think of, okay, well, you're going to go get a teaching degree to teach kindergartners, and that's going to make you be an author. But instead, it really, and I'm sure I don't have time to go into the whole story of all of the things, but it really has been a matter of, okay, what opportunity is right in front of me? Now, how can I use this opportunity? And once I'm here, then the next door opens, and then the next door opens, and then the next door opens. And I never saw doors 2, 3, 4, and 5 when I first got started. It was, what is right in front of me? What can I do with where I am, the skills that I know that I have, the opportunities that are here? And so often God doesn't reveal the whole picture to us. It's just take the first step. And once you take that first step, then the second door opens. And once you take that step, then the next door opens. And I don't want people, as they're thinking of this analogy, to be like, oh no, what if I took the wrong door like 3 steps ago? It's okay. He can take you a different way. There's lots of different ways to get there. It's so often not a straight line. It is just trying to pay attention to God, what opportunities are right in front of me? How have you uniquely gifted me? What needs are available in my area, and how might I fulfill them? And if you get off track a little bit, that's okay. You're just still listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. God, what do you have for me today? And there's so many different routes he can take us as we're listening to his guidance, as he leads us toward the person he wants us to be and the things that he wants us to do.
Oh, there's so much in that. And I would echo everything you said as far as that's been true of my life. It's like, okay, it's just such a faith walk. I'm going to do the next thing that I feel like he's leading me to do. And it's okay to pivot, and it's okay to turn around and try again. And I had a friend that she joked with me. She's like, if God brought a whale to get Jonah back on track, like he can get us back on track, and hopefully not via a whale. Right.
Yeah.
So, that's okay.
So good though.
Yeah. So, okay. So the tagline of your book reads Biblical Guidelines for Everyday Life. And I really, really love that. It's like, okay, how are we going to apply this? How are we going to get practical? How are we going to live this out daily? So Brittany, talk to us about how do we figure out God's will for our lives, like individually, like really talk to the woman listening today. How can she go about doing that?
Yeah, I love this question because I am all about the practical. You see, so often when we read the Bible, so many of its commands, while they're good, like I love the Bible. I very much love the Bible, very much respect it. And there's so much goodness and wisdom and insight there, but so often it's can be difficult to turn it into actual practical to-do steps that we take in our day-to-day life. So for example, the Bible tells us very clearly, you should love your neighbor. But what does that look like? For me, there's the command in the Bible that says, respect your husband. Okay, but what does that look like? Because I found out very quickly in my marriage that the way that I defined respect, I thought I was being so respectful. Like I did this and this and this and the other thing. And I said, you know, look at all of these things that I think are so respectful. And he was like, I don't care about any of those things. Like, I want you to do these things instead. For example, like having dinner on the table at 6 o'clock. To me, that's what my mother did for my dad. And that was a way that she showed respect. Like he worked all day and he came home to a meal. And for my husband, he was like, I don't care about having dinner on the table at 6. I come home at different times every day. And it is stressful to me if I have to drop everything at 6 o'clock and sit down. So for me, the reason why I wanted to write this book, Follow God's Will, is to help women to take the Bible's more general commands, because so often the Bible gives us so much wisdom and advice, but it's through parables or stories or examples or general guidelines. So how do we take those? And then how do we make that day-to-day super practical? How do we do this? So basically in the book, we walk you through, okay, first you want to start with reading God's word. because you have to start there, and then go through and figure out, this is what it meant to them back then. And then this is how we translate it to us today. So for example, just to give a super practical example, my mother asked me at one point, she said, I have this coworker in my office building who is in a lesbian relationship. She is getting married soon. And I don't know, how do I love her well? I know the Bible says to love her well. I know the Bible says this is a sin, but I need to love her well. Like, what does that look like? Do I go to the wedding? Do I not go to the wedding? Do I go to the ceremony and not the reception? Do I go, do I send a gift and not go? Do I send a card? Like, I don't, like, how, what does that look like? I don't know. And that really is where we need to get at here, because the Bible doesn't tell us super clearly, okay, do this, don't do this. It says general guidelines. The Bible tells us very clearly, you should love your neighbor. Well, what does your loving your neighbor look like? And so often it's a matter of us to figure out, okay, what might the Bible's general command look like in my life? So with me, the example I gave a minute ago about making my husband dinner at 6 o'clock, the Bible is not going to tell you, make your husband dinner at 6 o'clock. And it's not going to tell you, don't demand that your, I mean, I don't think I was demanding. Maybe it came across that way. Don't make sure that your husband sits down exactly at, I mean, the Bible is not going to give you those. It really is a matter of figuring out, okay, how might this apply to my life? So how do we do that? So I think it starts with going back to what Jesus says are the two most important commandments of all. He tells us in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And it's so important to start here, because whenever we make any kind of decision, we need to start with, am I loving other people? Am I actually acting in a way that is in their best interest? Or what we so often do as Christians is we say, well, this is God's law, and I want to make sure that everybody does the right thing. I want to make sure that my morals and values are upheld. I want to make sure, even if we think we're doing it for the right reason, I want to make sure that, like, things must be done this way. The laws must be written this way to go with what I think the Bible says. Instead of taking a step back and saying, how do we love people? We aren't called to make sure everyone follows God's rules. That's not our job. God asked us to love people. So what does that look like? So I think it does start with going into the Bible, figuring out what it says, the verses that are clear, and then looking at Christ's example. How did he love people? Did he speak up about sin? Okay, he did, but how did he do it? Did he beat them over the head with it? Like, who did he speak to about it? How did the way that he spoke to them vary? So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but I think it's going to be so different depending on the situation and the personalities. But I think that's also beautiful, because the purpose of following God's will is not to figure it out in the sense of, oh, I have to go find this one exact thing and do it this exact way. It really is this journey, like you said earlier, it's this journey of learning more about who God is, learning more about what he values, learning more about how he treats people and he views people, so that we can be more like him. Not so that we can get everything completely right. We're not perfect. I would love to, I'm a total perfectionist. I would love to get everything perfect. I can't, I'm not God. God's the only one who's perfect. And he doesn't ask us to be perfect. Instead, he says, you know, follow me, not follow the rules. That's important too. But God doesn't say, go follow the rules. He says, follow me, learn who I am, be more like me.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And I actually have a friend, and I might be misquoting this, but the gist is, if you are wanting and you have a desire to follow God's will, you're probably in his will. Because isn't it just, I think that's, it's this heart posture, like, Lord, I want to be in your will. I'm trying to stay in step with your spirit, and I'm trying to hear your voice. And so if our heart posture is to please him and want to be in it, then we probably are closer in following it more closely than we think. And I think the biggest key to this for me, like you said, is reading the Bible to know what God says, to know what those laws are, and you know, to see how he lived. But now that we, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living and working inside of us and speaking to us. And he's our guide. He's our counselor, really. And so talk to us about discerning God's voice, because that can be kind of confusing too. You know, is this me? Is this the enemy? Is this God? And so often he speaks in whispers. And so we're trying to hear him and be in tune with his voice. So how have you found it easier and best to discern his voice?
That is a great question. I feel like hearing God's voice is easier the more that you do it. Mm-hmm. So if you are someone who has never heard God's voice, it can be so difficult to think, okay, like, how do I even start? Like, how do I begin this new skill? And it is a skill, and it is something that you have to practice. I can say that when I was a teenager and I wasn't good at hearing God's voice yet, I didn't recognize it. It sounded, and what I hear from a lot of people is that God's voice sounds like your own voice in your head, but different. So most people, I imagine, as you go about your day, you have thoughts in your mind. Like, there is a running dialogue in your mind, and those thoughts can come from one of three places. Either it is God speaking to you. It could be the enemy speaking to you, which Satan cannot hear our thoughts, but he absolutely can speak into our minds. Or it could be just your own voice in your head, just thinking about things. So as you go about your day, there's a few really good places to start. One is to pray and ask God to speak to you loudly and clearly and to help you to recognize him, because God's not somebody who's like whispering over in the corner so that, you know, I hope they don't hear me. It's not like he wants us to hear him. He wants us to know what he's saying to us. He's speaking so that we will listen. He's not trying to make it difficult. So we can pray, God, please speak loudly and clearly. Please help me to understand you correctly. Please give me the wisdom. Please give me the sensitivity to hear you and to know that God is speaking. And we can pray prayers like these. Secondly, we can read God's word, and that's really going to help us to understand the difference between the kinds of things that God says and the kinds of things he does not say. And I think that that can be really helpful as well. So as you have this running dialogue in your head and you have a thought, you can compare it against scripture and say, is this in line with God's character? Is this something that God would say? For example, we know the Bible tells us there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if the thought that you are hearing is a shaming, condemning thought, you can know, because the Bible tells you God does not shame us. He does not condemn us. So if it is shaming and condemning, it is not from God. It is from the enemy. If it's something like, what should I eat for lunch today? Maybe a tuna sandwich. Do I want to wear the yellow shirt or the blue shirt? Well, that's probably just you in your own head. So you don't have to worry about those. That's just like normal day-to-day things. Mm-hmm. But if you hear something that's like, you know, you should go talk to her, and you're like, well, you know, Satan probably wouldn't be telling me to go encourage somebody. And I know this isn't coming from me because I am an introvert and I don't want to go talk to a stranger. Mm. Well, you know, that might be God, and it might not be this big booming voice. It's often just a gentle nudge. And so often I think the way that I hear God and the way most people hear God, I haven't polled the whole world, but from what I have understood, is it just sounds like a quiet, gentle voice, not because God doesn't want us to hear him, but because he wants us to slow down and pay attention. So that's another big tip, is to slow down and listen. Like, what are the thoughts in your head? Because they're so easy to miss. I know when I very first started hearing God's voice in my life, it sounded like just my own thoughts in my head that I'm like, oh, that would never come true. And I can still remember the things that he spoke to me back then that I was like, oh, that, you know, that's nothing. Like, that will never come true. That'll never happen. You know, that's just some random thought that just popped in. Well, no, it was God. I just didn't recognize it yet. And so it really has to be a process of listening and asking and praying for clarification. You know, maybe sometimes we do have random thoughts, but if there's something we're like, God, are you calling me to do this thing? Is this where you're leading me? You can then go and, continue praying. Like, God, if this is the thing, please continue to give me confirmation and keep praying about it. You can ask your friends, family, your pastor for additional clarification. Like, I feel like maybe I should do this thing. Like, what do you think? And they can help give you some more insight as well. And there's a ton of questions that you can ask kind of as a test. So the Bible also tells us to test all things and hold on to what is good. So you can ask yourself some questions such as, does this thought, idea, or action line up with scripture? Because God's never going to tell you to do something that is against his word. So does it line up with what he has already told you? You can also ask if it is true and logical. God's not going to tell you something that's God's not a liar. I mean, the Bible tells us that Satan is a liar and God is not a liar. So if it's a lie, If it's not true, if it's shaming, it's not from God. You can also ask yourself, does it honor God or only yourself? So this thing that you're thinking or that you're wanting to do, is this going to puff me up? Is it going to build me up and like build my ego? Or is this honoring to God as well? Does this thought lead to conviction and growth? So God will convict us because he loves us, because he cares for us, and he wants to set us on a right path. Or does it lead to shame and condemnation? So there's just a lot of questions that you can ask yourself as a test. Like, does this line up with what I know about God? Does this line up with his character? Does this make sense? And that can help you as you're learning to figure out, okay, where is this thought coming from? But often it just starts with praying for wisdom and clarity and for him to talk a little louder so we can hear him, and then slowing down enough to pay attention.
Oh gosh, those are so good. And I need to make sure that I include them in the show notes, because I can imagine women like frantically writing, right now. Like, I need to answer these questions, because that is such a good litmus test. And, you know, as you were talking, I just was thinking about just when we get to know people on a personal level, you know, our children, if anybody's listening that is a mother and has had babies, you know, we start to even learn their cries. Like, is this an upset cry? Is this a tired cry? Is this a hungry cry? And then even with, I think about my spouse, like I know his cough, I know his laugh, you know, like when it's a real laugh or kind of like a, you know, you just get to know the people. And I feel like God's voice is that way too. The more we talk to him, the more we listen, the more we're in relationship, you can kind of discern that even better and even closer. And I love too, Brittany, how biblical you are and how much you keep going back to scripture. And so when we read God's word, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, so I wonder if you have anything else to say about it. You know, we can read it like, oh, well, that was just for everybody in the Old Testament, or that was just for everybody in the New Testament. But the reality is he wants us to read it to apply it to our lives today in the present. So is there a kind of a trick to how, because we don't want to take the verses out of context either. You know, sometimes it really was just maybe for that person. So do you have any tricks or tools to kind of equip us as we're reading God's word for today?
Oh, absolutely. So I wanted to share very quickly, the book that we are talking about right now is called Follow God's Will, all about how to live out God's will, what we read in the Bible. It is actually a follow-up to my previous book, Fall in Love with God's Word, that goes into this some more in depth. So I just want to mention that because I'm only going to be able to share so much. Like, it's a big question with a lot of answers. So I just wanted to share that just in case someone's like, okay, I need, like, this is a great question. This is a great question. I want the whole process. So I just wanted to make people aware of that. But yes, there is a process. And this is a question that I had myself as I sat down to write. And I had this question of, how do I figure out which verses I should read today? I should read all of them. How do I figure out how to apply them today? For example, there's a verse that talks about women should cover their heads. Like, is that something that we still have to do or not have to do? And there's verses about women preaching in church. And like, there's so many verses that can be taken so many different ways. And so it's a process that starts with the first thing you want to do. Well, first start by praying for wisdom and clarity. Always start there. Always start. Like, we can.
And when we ask for wisdom, he will give it. I mean, the scripture tells that, right?
Yes. First start by praying. But then after that, that just goes without saying. After that, the first thing you want to do next is to go and figure out, what would this verse or passage or concept have meant to the original author or to the original audience that was hearing it? So rather than just taking it and saying, oh, well, this verse talks about how we talk to each other on social media. Okay, well, social media didn't exist back then. So that's not really actually what it meant. Mm-hmm. Like, there are applications, but we have to start with, what first were they trying to say? What concept were they trying to get across? How would their original audience have understood it? Sometimes this takes a little bit of research to figure out, oh, here he uses this phrase and his original audience would have immediately understood that this phrase in other places of the Bible refers to this other thing. So he was actually, while he's saying one thing, was actually talking about something else. So we have to do a little bit of research to figure out, what did the original author mean? What did the original audience hear? How would they have understood this? How did they react to this? Once we figure out how they would have understood it, then we need to take the next step, which is to figure out, what is the main overarching idea? So for example, there is a verse in the Bible where it tells us to greet each other with a holy kiss. Now, do we do that today when we walk into churches? Do we just walk around and kissing everybody? We don't do that, because the original authors would have understood, like, this is appropriate in their culture. But the main idea of what he was trying to get across was that you should greet other people. You should be friendly. You should be hospitable. You should be warm and welcoming. And that was what he was really trying to get across. Because we have to remember, the Bible wasn't written, it was written for us, but it wasn't written to us. There is no book of the Bible written to the church in the United States. There is no book of the Bible written to Rachel Adams on, you know, this day and this time. It wasn't written to you. It's written for you. We can benefit from it. But the Bible was written to a very specific person or group of people at a very specific place and a very specific time in a very specific circumstance. There were things that were happening. There's a reason why he gave them this advice. So we have to understand it in that context. And there's so many different contexts, literary context, historical context, the religious context of the time, the political context of the time. I know that can feel a little bit overwhelming. You don't need to look up all of those things for every verse, but doing a little bit of research into a verse that you're questioning, that you're kind of struggling with, can often provide so much insight. So you're figuring out, okay, what was happening at that time? Why did he say that? So for example, today, if I wrote a letter to somebody and I said, you know, dear person, please stop being so lazy. Well, to some people, that would be good advice. If you were lazy, you would need to not be lazy. However, there are people who work too much, and that would not be good advice for them. So you have to understand that this was a letter that was, well, the New Testament has a lot of letters. The Old Testament, you know, not necessarily letters, but these were things that were written to people on purpose for a reason. So understanding some of that concept and then taking a step back and figuring out, okay, what was the main idea? What was the general principle? What was the idea that he was really trying to get across? He wrote this specific example to this specific person, but what is the overarching principle that applies to everyone at all time? And then once you figure out what that is, oh, you should be hospitable. You should be loving. You should work hard, but not too hard, whatever the main idea is. Then after you figure out that, then you can figure out, okay, how does that apply in my life today? So is my life really different than what we see in the Bible, or is it pretty much the same? And just going through this process of figuring out, okay, the main idea is to be hospitable. Well, what does that look like today? What would be hospitable? What would be too much for our culture or for me or for the person that I'm speaking to? What would be not enough? So taking that general principle and then finding more practical ways to apply it. It's a process. It can seem a little overwhelming or a lot of steps at first, but going through it can provide just so much more wisdom and insight and encouragement and clarity into some of the Bible passages that are a little bit more difficult to understand.
Yeah. I mean, what's coming to my mind right now is like Old Testament. If you only read the Old Testament and you saw like all the sacrifices, like all the festivals and all the things and said, well, oh, I should still be doing those things. But yet you never read the New Testament to see like, okay, Jesus came, the Savior, you know, and he was the ultimate sacrifice. And in that old system, that old covenant, all of that has to now go away. Like there's a new covenant. And so it's so important to understand the Bible at its entirety. And we probably will never understand it. But you know, day by day, we continue to grow in that process. And I think so on that topic, and something again that I love so much about this book is that you talk about how to live out our faith on a day-to-day basis. And that really is the heart of this podcast. Like how do we love fully and live faithfully? And so I would just like to hear from you today, Brittany. How do you do this in your own life? And how would you suggest that we do it in ours?
For me, living out my faith day to day comes down to two things. So one of them we've talked already is loving God and loving others. But the other word that always comes to mind for me is stewardship. So I believe that God has given each of us unique talents, skills, gifts, and abilities. He has placed a call on our lives for us to do things. And it is up to us with his help to figure out how do we steward what he has given us. Well, I always think of the parable where Jesus, or it wasn't Jesus in the parable. I always think of the parable where the wealthy landowner gives the 10 talents and the 5 talents and the 1 talent. And then he goes away and then he comes back and says, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? And this parable just always weighs on my mind because as somebody who lives in the United States, I have a pantry full of food. I have internet. I have a phone. I have the ability to write books. I am healthy. I have children who are healthy. I feel like I am so blessed. I feel like the one who has 10 talents, not because I am special, but because God has given, like, I have clean running water. I have trash trucks who are outside right now taking my trash away. So I am not living in a trash heap. Like, I just feel so blessed to be alive, to have my health, to have my family. And so I want to make sure that because I've been given all of these blessings, that I am stewarding them well, because there are so many people all around the world who don't have those same blessings. Maybe even people who are listening to this right now who don't have their health or who don't have financial opportunities or who don't have time. There's so many ways that we can lack, but there's so many things that we have. So I want to make sure that of the things that I do have, of the things that I've been given, that I'm using them well, that I'm using them wisely, that I'm doing what I can do. I can't do everything. I wish I could, but I can do what I can do to help further the kingdom. So for me, God has given me a husband. That is a blessing. It's a responsibility. There is a role there. There are things that need to happen. God has given me 3 beautiful children that I love. That is a blessing. That's also a responsibility. He has given me this ministry. He's given me this book. He's given me friendships. He's given me a church community. So for me, again, I can't do all of the things, but what can I do with what I have? So for me, it's just a balancing act of each day waking up and saying, okay, what are the roles that I have in my life? What are the responsibilities that I have? Because as a busy mom, I have responsibilities. I have a dishwasher that needs to be unloaded. I have a puppy who needs attention. I have a work to do, and it's good. Work is good. Work was created before the fall. I have these things that are good. How do I steward them well? How do I do the things that are right in front of me in a way that helps me do what Jesus tells me are the most important things of all, to love God and love others? I don't think it's necessarily so much about what we do, although that's also important, but the way that we do them. As you show up as a mom today, how are you going to show up as a mom? And none of us are perfect, but to the best of your ability, are you going to choose to show up as a mom who loves her children, who are so happy to see them, who train them up well? Are you going to show up as a wife who is supportive, who speaks kind words, who is available to her husband? Or are you going to show up as someone who is grouchy, overworked, overtired, stressed out, yelling at them? And of course, we all have bad days. Are you going to show up at work as somebody who does her best, who is a light and example of this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it looks like to live out my faith. This is what it looks like to work hard, even when those around me might be slacking off. This is what it looks like to be a good example. Or are you going to show up and say, you know what? I don't really care. The bosses aren't very nice to me. The customers aren't very nice to me. I'm not going to do more than the bare minimum because that's all I need to do. Like every day, no matter what you do, whether you're running a huge online ministry, you're staying home with babies, you're out volunteering, you are working in a job, whether you are doing any number of things, yes, you want to follow where God is calling you. But I think even more important than that is how you do the things that you do, no matter where you are, that you're loving your family well, that you're being kind to those around you, that you're setting a good example of what it looks like to not just be a Christian, but to be happy to be a Christian. I see so many Christians, and I'm not trying to be judgmental of other people, but I see so many Christians who just seem so angry all the time. We're like, well, they're not doing the right thing. The world is going to pieces. Like, this is awful. Why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you voting this way? And how can you believe this? Nobody wants to be a Christian like that. That's not compelling. If I wasn't a Christian and I saw Christians like that, I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. But we can choose to show up each day and say, you know what? God has given me so much. God gave me 10 talents or 5 talents or 1 talent, depending on how you feel your life is. God gave you something. He didn't give anybody 0. He gave you something. So what can you do to be happy, to be blessed with where you are and to share that with others? And I think it just comes down to, how can you live out the responsibilities and the roles you have wherever God has placed you? Yes, you're always trying to keep your ear to the Holy Spirit. You know, if God is calling you somewhere next, like, yes, like by all means, tell me, let's go there. That sounds fun. But wherever you are right now, how can you be a light for Christ? How can you show people this is what it looks like to love God? This is what it looks like to love others. Christianity can be this thing that we're happy to be Christians, that we're blessed, that we're lucky to be Christians. I just feel so blessed. And I just want to share that with others as well. This isn't just a set of rules and checklists and guidelines, and you have to go to church on Sunday, and you better read your Bible for enough. But you know, God loves me. Like, that's good news. That's really good news. The God of the whole entire universe, He loves me. He is for me. He's given me so much. And the same is true of absolutely everybody who's listening right now. God loves you. He is for you. He is working things out for your best interest. And He has things that you have no idea about that He's working behind the scenes to bring things together in your life. And that's joyous.
That segues so perfectly to my next question for you. You just teed that up for me very well. So, you know, because the gospel is good news, and really His will for us is to go and make disciples too. You know, like we do have work to do. We do have a mission, and we don't want to bury those talents. And so, you know, part of His will for us is to share the gospel, but sometimes I think we start to think that it may be weird or too pushy. So do you have any advice for us to be witnesses for the gospel and to make disciples in our everyday lives?
Absolutely. So I think this comes down to the way that we think about sharing the gospel. Because if you think of sharing the gospel as, okay, well, I have to go out to somebody who doesn't want to hear what I'm going to talk about, and I have to convince them of something that I don't know all the answers, and this is really scary, and I don't like to talk to people. Well, of course, it's going to be scary. And the good news is that's not what God is calling you to do for most of us. Instead, if you think of it as, if you had something that you knew that you truly believed in, that you knew would make people's lives better, wouldn't you want to tell them? So I'm trying to think in my own life of just a random example. For example, if you came to me today and you said, you know what, I am really trying to eat healthier, but I'm really struggling with this. Like, I'm a busy mom. My kids don't ever want to eat anything healthy, and I'm really trying to get them to eat better and me to try to eat better, but we are so busy. And if I saw that you had this problem, and I knew right now in my brain, I know of something that would be really helpful for you in this situation, I would be a complete jerk to hear about your struggle or your problem or your issue that you're having and say, well, oh, okay, well, good luck to you. Like, I know of the solution, but I don't want to tell you. No, if you know something that's truly going to make their life better. And I think as Christians, we don't always think it does. But if you truly believe, yes, God is good. He is for me. His ways are best. When I follow God's will, my life is better. Like, for me, this feels like this big, not a secret, because a lot of people know about it, but I don't think they quite understand to the extent, none of us understand to the extent, but like, the God of the universe, I can talk to Him anytime. I can get wisdom and insight and knowledge. Like, that's amazing. I want to tell people about that. So going back to my example, if you were like, hey, I really need help to help my kids eat more healthy, and I know of something that's going to help you, then I want to tell you. I want to be a good friend. I think we naturally want to share things. So in my example, I'm thinking of green smoothies, by the way. You can fit a lot of spinach in there. My kids love them. They're delicious. They're super fast. You just throw all the things, you hit the blender button, and in like 2 minutes, you've got something that's really quick and easy. So if anybody right now was listening, like, what is this thing she's talking about? I didn't want you to like walk away not knowing. I love green smoothies. I would tell you every day. I'm just trying to think of a random example, but I would tell anybody any day.
Well, you're going to have to give us the recipe now. We'll include that in our show notes, but okay.
Okay. I can do that. It's very easy. And I've made them different ways, but the point is, if you have a solution, if you have something that you truly believe in, like for me, I love green smoothies. I think they're delicious. They're inexpensive. They're very easy to make. The blender's kind of a pain in the butt to clean sometimes, but if you like put the water in and then hit the blend button, it does it for you. There's so many benefits. Like, why wouldn't I want to tell somebody about this? Now, notice what I didn't do. I didn't say, now, Rachel, you had better make these or else. If you don't make green smoothies and you feed your kids eggs or cereal or Eggos, Pop-Tarts, you know, whatever. If you do those, you're a terrible person. How could you feed your... No, it's just like, hey, this is what I know. This is something I found helpful, and I just want to share it with you. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to follow up with you tomorrow and say, did you make your... No, I'm not going to do that. I am just sharing what I know that I found helpful. I'm not claiming to have every answer. I'm not even claiming to have the best smoothie recipe, although I really do like the ones that I make. I'm not trying to persuade you. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just saying, hey, like, I see this thing that you have in your life. You have this need. You want to feed your kids healthily, healthful foods. And I know of something that has been really helpful for me. And I would like to share that with you. So you're not being pushy. You're not being weird. You're not insisting. You're not being rude. You're not being angry. You don't even have to go up and talk to strangers. If that makes you uncomfortable, then don't do it. Unless God calls you to, then please obey. But most of the time, it really is a matter of having that joy for yourself and sharing what you know and have experienced. So when people ask you, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Rather than just saying, oh, nothing, it really could be as simple as saying, oh, I'm going to church. They're having a sermon series on this thing right now, and I'm really learning a lot out of it. Like, it's really great. It's really interesting. That's not pushy. You're just sharing, this is what's going on in my life. Like, I go to this church and it's fun. If they want to learn more, then they'll ask you for more and you can share more. But it doesn't have to be this whole thing where you say, okay, here is my 5-point PowerPoint presentation. You better sit down, you better pay attention, and you better listen and be convinced or else. It doesn't have to, like, so many of the things that we hate or think are scary about sharing the gospel, it doesn't have to be that way. It's literally just, hey, here's what I know. Here's something that's been helpful for me. I want to share it with you because I care about you. I think it's genuinely helpful. If you choose to believe, then that's great. And we can talk about it more. If you choose not to, you're a human being with free will. Like, God doesn't force, God's a gentleman. He doesn't force anyone to believe anyone. We have no right to force anybody to believe anything. It's just a matter of sharing, hey, this is what I know. This is what I've experienced. I am more than willing to share about what I've been through. I'm more than willing to share about how God has come alongside me. That's your testimony. This is what I know. This is what I've done. This is what I've seen. This is what I've experienced. And no one can argue with you very well about, hey, this is how I feel about things. And I think it just starts with there, not about convincing people, not about beating them over the head with the Bible, not about insisting that they do anything, but just, hey, this is what I know, and this is how I live, and I'm really happy to do this. And if you want to try it out, I'm happy to share more.
It reminds me of the verse, like, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, you're just inviting them to, like, taste, yeah, like, and come and see, and then we can go and tell. And I'm just reminded of, you know, that's how we learned of the gospel. That's how we learned of good news, because somebody was willing to share it with us. And I also think about how often it's so easy for us to share, like, oh, this movie was really good, or oh, this book was really good, or have you tried this new restaurant? Or, you know, we share things that we love. But why are we so hesitant to share Christ, who we could not love any more than anything else? And we want other people to experience that love. And so that leads me to my next question for you. I think, you know, just because of the heart of this podcast, I mean, the being a love offering, how can we be love offerings? We want to display Christ's love to believers and non-believers alike, but how do we do that? I mean, living out this, you mentioned it earlier, that theme verse of this podcast, the greatest command, and that's what we're called to do, but it's really hard to do in our flesh. So do you have any advice on how you've been able to do this and navigate those relationships and just treat everybody with love?
I think, again, it starts with prayer. So one thing that I realized a while back, maybe a couple of years ago, well into my journey of being a Christian, but the verses in the Bible that talk about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I paid attention in Sunday school as a kid. I hope those were all right. But these are the fruits of the Spirit. They are not, you try really hard to do these things. If you're not doing them, you better get better at it. It is not a matter of, you wake up and you better try really hard to be patient with your kids. It is not, you go to work and you better try really hard to be kind to your coworkers. These are the fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. So I think it starts with just praying and saying, God, please develop these qualities in me. Please help me to love other people. God, please give me patience today. Please help me to speak kind words. God, if I am about to say something that I should not say, please metaphorically smack me over the head and do not let me say things that I am going to regret. And you can start and pray. I actually have an example of this. I was in a situation that I'm not in very often. And I prayed, like, God, I have a decision to make here, and I don't want to make the wrong decision. Will you please, like, block me from going the wrong way? And when I showed up in this physical building, there was a partition that was not there before, literally blocking, physically blocking me from seeing down that way that I didn't need to see or go. And I was like, well, thank you, God, because you are a God who answers prayer. And you can pray that, God, if I am going to do something I shouldn't do, please prevent me, not that he will 100% prevent you all the time. You still have some responsibility, but you can pray like, God, please help me to do the right thing. God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then doing the things again, getting in God's word regularly is going to fill you with more of the Holy Spirit. Spending time in prayer, spending time in silence, going to church, doing all of these spiritual disciplines is going to help fill you with the Holy Spirit. It's going to help make you more Christ-like. So when you're in these situations where it would be very difficult, yes, there is some degree of self-control, self-discipline. However, there's only so much we can do on our own. There's only so much self-control. There's only so much willpower. Even if we practice really hard, we are not perfect. I've tried so hard to be perfect. It just does not ever work. We just can't. But the Holy Spirit empowers us to do things well beyond what we could do on our own. And as I shared in my example a second ago, he blocks us sometimes from doing things that we shouldn't do. So rather than just trying to try harder, do more, do the right thing, because that's exhausting. Spending more time with God, spending more time at his feet, spending more time in prayer, spending more time in the word ahead of time to say, God, I really want to follow you. I really want to do the right thing. Would you please give me wisdom? Would you please give me clarity? Help me to see the consequences of my actions before I do the wrong thing. Please help me to know. I've prayed these sorts of prayers so many times. God, please help me to say the right thing. Please help me to know what I should do. God, please help me to be patient with my children today. Please give me the energy to do the things that I need to do. God, I didn't get enough sleep last night, but please, will you take the little that I have and make it enough? The same Jesus who was able to take just a few fish and a few loaves and feed the 5,000, he can take the little teeny bit of sleep that you got last night and he can make it enough. God is enough when we're not. So I'm all about willpower. I'm all about self-discipline. I'm all about to-do lists and checking things off the list. And that's my kind of personality. But at the end of the day, there's only so much we can do. And it really comes back to, okay, God, who are you? What is your character? What do you value? How would you, the cliche, what would Jesus do in the situation? And please help me to be more like you and to set more of an example wherever I go.
Yeah. I know it's true in my life. It's like, if I have spent time with the Lord, or if I haven't, like if I'm feeling mm-hmm. really depleted and empty, it really does. The ugliness can overflow out of my heart, or his love can overflow out of my heart. And it really usually is a testament of how I've prepared my heart that morning. It's evident throughout the rest of my day, typically. Mm-hmm. This is a question that is kind of the concluding question for all of my guests, Brittany. So the question that I'm asking this season is, how can we be love offerings? So what first comes to mind for you?
I think for me, it just goes back to so much of what we talked about previously, that it is not so much a matter of what we do, but how we do everything that we do, how we show up each day. That I show up as a mom and I choose to take that time ahead of time to get myself right with the Lord, to get my prayer in so that I'm filled up with the Holy Spirit. So when I'm around my children, that I can love them well, that I'm spending that time in advance so that I can love my husband well, so I can be a good steward of my time and my talent and my resources. I don't think our willpower is enough. I think there's so much that we can do practically speaking in terms of habits and checklists, and I love all of those. But I think it really comes down to that day-to-day communion with God and letting him guide us, paying attention to where he is leading us, putting ourselves aside sometimes when we are selfish. I can be so selfish. I never knew how selfish I was until I became a wife and mother. And then suddenly there's five of us and I'm like, oh, five of us means I only get my way 20% of the time. Like, that's not a very good ratio. And you just don't realize until you have these people in your life that you have the opportunity to butt up against. And then you're like, oh, okay. So I think so often we do have to set ourselves aside a little bit, but what I can tell you is that throughout my journey as a Christian, I have never, ever, ever, ever obeyed God and regretted it. Mm-hmm. Anytime that I have done what God has asked me to do, it has always been in my best interest. It has always worked out for my good and the good of those around me. Not that I obey him perfectly. I still have a very bad habit of procrastinating way more than I should, or only obeying partway, or like, oh, are you sure? Because we're all human and none of us is perfect. But there has never, ever, ever been a time where I have obeyed what God has asked me to do that I've later regretted it. There have been plenty of times where I've obeyed and later found out new information. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I am so thankful that I did things God's way, because if I had done it the way that I thought was best, like that would have blown up in my face. So I think it's just that constant communion with God of who are you? What is your character like? How can I be more like you? And God, what do you want from me today? How can I love you and love others in the situation that I'm in today? Whether it's a big situation, it's a big decision. What job are you going to take? Are you going to have more children? Are you going to go back to school? Are you going to start a nonprofit? If it's a big thing, or even if it's a small thing, how do I deal with my kids' attitude problem today? How am I going to make it through this day when I didn't get enough sleep? How am I going to be kind to my coworker who is so annoying? I can say that because I don't have coworkers. I work for myself from home, and it's a really nice perk. But no matter what it is, just constantly seeking God. God, how would you have me approach the situation? What would you do in the situation? And trying to be more like God in everything that we do, I think is always going to be in our best interest, even if it isn't easy at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen. I agree wholeheartedly with all of that. So Brittany, you have an online conference coming up that I have had the pleasure of being a part of. So would you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, I am so thankful that you asked, and I'm so happy that you are a part of this conference as well. So coming up September 13th through 15th, we are hosting the Called to Act conference. It is a free 3-day live online conference where I will be live presenting. We have several speakers, including you, who are going to be sharing on all different aspects of following God's will for your life. So we have best-selling authors, we have well-known pastors, seminary professors. We have a really amazing lineup of men and women who are just ready to completely bless you. They're dropping so many like truth bombs. I was just scribbling notes as I'm listening to all of these sessions that I've been able to listen to in advance. So again, it is the Call to Act conference, free conference, 3 days in September. And you will have the link in the show notes so that people can join us. And I hope that they will.
Yeah, me too. And I can't wait to tune in to all of, I did get a sneak peek a little bit, but I'm not tuned into all of them. So I'm so excited to listen to the others. But I will include that in the show notes, but then also tell us how we just can connect with you personally, just through your ministry, purchase your books and all the things.
Well, thank you for asking. My website is equippinggodlywomen.com, and that is my main hub where you can find everything there. We have my latest book, Follow God's Will, Biblical Guidelines for Everyday Life, is coming out in October. So you can download and read the first chapter for free anytime now. It is all there available for you. Get signed up for the conference. We have blog posts and podcast episodes. We have so many resources just to help busy Christian women to find real, very practical ways to live out God's will for their life on a day-to-day basis. So if you're looking for some more of that knowledge, encouragement, wisdom, insight, we have so much there for you. So I hope you will check us out at equippinggodlywomen.com.
Well, we actually, Brittany, we're like book launch. I don't know. What would I call us?
It's book launch buddies.
They're buddies. October 4th. We were just saying that, like, it's just been fun to be on this journey with you. You've been such an encouragement to me, and I just appreciate this episode. It's just, I feel like it really is at the heart of what this podcast is all about. And so, thank you so much for being my guest. Thank you for helping us to follow God's will, confidently hear his voice, understand his word, and determine his will for ourselves. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Brittany Ann. We hope that today helped you to find and follow God's will for yourself. This week, our love offering is from Brittany Ann, and she says to seek God and ask him, how would you have me handle the situation and what would you have me to do? And then obey. She says she has never obeyed God and regretted it, and I would wholeheartedly agree. Don't forget to connect with Brittany Ann at equippinggodlywomen.com. Also, don't forget to join us for the Call to Act Conference. Brittany Ann is hosting this conference, and I'm honored to be a part of it along with 19 other speakers. You can find my specific affiliate link on the show notes by visiting rachelkadams.com/writing. There you can find all the show notes from this specific episode, as well as previous podcast episodes. You can read the blog series, and you can also find the free resources that, including the Friendship Devotional and Advent Devotional, 31-Day Love Offering Calendar, as well as a special book bonuses that correlate with my new devotional coming out October the 4th, which is titled A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. I can't wait to share that message with you, and don't forget that I'm going to be correlating this podcast with that devotional each week to just go in depth with each theme even more so. So I can't wait to share all that with you. Don't forget to contact me and connect with me over on social media at Rachel Adams Author. I think that is it for now. Next week, we will talk again. I have Joshua Becker on the show. He is talking about the things that matter the most. But until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.